Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
All right, we're going to get into the Word. Father, we just thank you for this morning. God, I pray that you just help me speak your Word in love, in boldness, and with most of all your anointing. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I need a stoic voice like a Morgan Freeman. Hope is good. Maybe the best of things. No good thing ever dies. Deep, stoic voice is going to read scripture with me. Who wants to volunteer? New King James Version on your app. Now, I need a bit of like a fatherly voice. Kevin. One day, Shiloh. New King James. It was the Bible. Kevin, you're in church.
I use a New Living Translation.
You use New Living Translation. Yeah. Fair enough.
So, all right. What would you like me to read?
We're going to get into that very soon. A couple of other quick things. Congratulations to Jay Schelling. Give us a wave. And Street Peace and your crew, amazing, have relocated to their new location, servicing and looking after the troubled youth of Frankston. Amazing work you guys are doing there. Ali Tai from New Zealand, where are you at? I want to welcome you as well. And has anyone else come from afar, from like overseas or more than 2 hours? Just give us a hand. Ali Tai might be in a bar. Oh, yes. Dave and Amanda, yes, I knew that, Amanda from Lakes. Welcome. Good to see you all. And we have internship kicking off for semester two. So we're going to put on another internship info night. We want you to be part of it. We'll send out more details very soon. But my friend, we're going to take this verse by verse, line by precept, by precept. You can stay here if you want. Let's just start off with verse one.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
Awesome. If I forgot to mention, we are unpacking during the month of July, June, the book of Colossians. And we've done Colossians 1, Colossians 2. We're up to Colossians 3. For a bit of background, the church in Colossae was started by a man named Epaphras, who Paul met during his time in Ephesus. And Epaphras and Paul reconvened in prison as Epaphras was thrown into prison for these activities, preaching good news and so forth as well. And Paul is now hearing the update on how the church in Colossae is going. And it is previously a secular nation, a Greek philosophizing part of the world, much to like what we experience now, that the gospel, what hasn't been in Australia from the beginning of time, it's come through laid down lovers of Jesus, through missionaries, through people who caught the fire of God. And there's people in this church now who've maybe you're quite new to the faith. And so there's still things in your old life that will try and come back and creep back, like what Paul experienced when writing to the church in Colossians. And so, it is fitting with verse 1. We're going to go through the whole chapter if we've got time. That it says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Because it is so easy to be just focused on what's around us, on what we physically see. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, next verse.
Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth.
Yep, let's pause there. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. If you're wanting to know how do you live this Christian life in a world full of darkness, in a world full of competing opinions and the TV telling you what to believe and what narrative you should subscribe to that is opposite to the kingdom, you set your minds on things above. Because his ways are higher than our ways. Our perspective is limited. Our view from down here is so minuscule compared to God. I got a glimpse flying between Chicago to Boston during our honeymoon 13 years ago of how tiny we really are. It's like these little lemmings and these car lights at night, and like, my gosh, we are small. We are small in the big scheme of things, but God is massive. He is everywhere. So set your mind on things above and not on this earth. Let's go to the next verse.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Ephesians 2 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Are you alive in your trespasses and sins as a believer of God? Nope. The Bible says, consider yourselves dead. You are dead men walking, dead women walking. You are dead to your sins and alive in Christ. I think sometimes the error in the modern church is we like to label ourselves as we're just sinners saved by grace. And we hold on to this identity that we're just a sinner. And I in my previous role as a sales coach, I would often ask a sneaky question. When you think of a salesperson, what comes to mind? 95% of the responses is, someone who rips people off. It's a used car salesman, someone who pushes products down people's throats. That what they don't realize is when they're doing their job of selling or influencing, you don't have to be in a sales job to realize that you're a salesperson. You could be a lawyer appealing to a jury. You could be a parent trying to convince your son to eat his sandwich during his school. But as someone with a level of influence, and everyone in this room has a level of influence, especially when you preach the gospel to the lost, when we ask salespeople, when you think of a salesperson, what comes to mind? These negative connotations is telling of what's really going down on the inside. Because without realizing, when the crunch happens, when you need to ask for that business, you don't realize you're actually self-sabotaging and pulling away because you think, oh, I'm going to be a bit pushy. I don't want to be perceived as a pushy person that's going to rip this person off. Same goes for witnessing. In my years in training and leading people, people hold back in actually witnessing for God because they perceive themselves as the Bible basher from the 80s with fire and brimstone, turn or burn. They're like, oh, I don't want to be that evangelist. That's not what we're about. We're here to love people, to speak the truth in love, and offer the way. Jesus, amen. Amen. Verse 5.
Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Yep, keep going.
Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience.
All right. Some words that it's probably not, some of you don't often hear in our world these days, the word fornication, sex outside of marriage. There's other things there listed. It's uncleanliness, unclean passions, evil desire, covetousness or jealousy, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That is the reality of the word of God. And I thank God that I had people tell me the truth in love, that I was actually part of this list, that I needed to actually get my life cleaned up. But not in my own strength, not in my own doing, but considering myself dead to my sins and my trespasses. And God is a merciful God. He was very patient with me in my stumbling and fumbling in this pursuit of holiness. God said, be holy, for I am holy. And who can ascend to the mountain of God? Those with the clean hands and a pure heart. I had this burning desire, and I still do, to be close with the Lord. And I realized there was a part of my life that was actually hindering that intimacy with the Lord when it came to the idea of these things that we just read. Let's go to the next verse, 7 to verse 10.
These things in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them.
Past tense, yep.
But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who is greater.
So good.
Who created him. Sorry.
Thanks, Kevin. Oh, man. Isn't it sobering to just read scripture line upon line, precept upon precept? Sorry, this is not a motivational speech, but this is good that we get into this. Put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, swearing. Yes, it is a sin to swear.
Yes.
Let no unclean thing depart from your lips, in Ephesians it says. Yeah. Most of all, it's a witness. All these things that God is telling us in His scriptures to do effectively is for your own growth, for your own benefit, but it's also for the benefit of others around you. That it's quite an oxymoron or a contradiction when you see someone who professes to love Jesus, but every second, third word is an F-bomb or S this, S that. I remember in my last job before I was a coach, I was a salesperson on the road, and I went to Sigma Pharmaceuticals. And during the smoko, there was these guys just, you know, having their cigarettes, F that, F this, F that, swearing. They're nice. Don't get me wrong. They're nice to me as well. But one guy in particular, he wasn't smoking, he wasn't swearing at all. And I thought, there's something different about him. And I thought to myself, I bet he's a Christian. About 2 months later, we're at a youth alive gathering when I used to serve in youth in my old church. And I see Julio, my friend, Julio. Mate, I thought you were a Christian. Do you remember me from Sigma? He goes, yeah, I do. He's a youth pastor at Enjoy Church. I go, well done, bro, because you stood out like a light in the dark. You didn't swear. You didn't cave into the culture of your workplace. And then we met again at his church's conference. They invited the pastors of Melbourne. And I go, Julio, how's the work going? And he goes, oh, check this out. See the guy with the hospitality trays. He heads up now our hospitality team. But about a year ago, talk about this workplace, he's my colleague, and he struggled with ice addiction. He struggled with homosexuality. And he said, I had enough. I'm suicidal. I want to end my life, but there's something different about you. And I know it's because you said you're a Christian and you actually live it out. And this man entrusted his life to Julio. Julio brings him to church. This man gets saved, gets delivered, and now is serving the Lord. Come on, but we got to be an example, amen?
Yeah.
We have to be an example. The Holy Spirit is so sensitive to how we represent Him. He doesn't want to be misrepresented. This past week, we had the honor, and I'm going to be very discreet with some finer details because I've already broken enough rules this week. It might be my first and also last day at this thing that we do. But I went to support the team to see all the good work that they're doing. And upon entry, there's these... before I say any more, I want to just let everyone know, no matter the struggle, all these lists of things that we just read, fornication, swearing, wrath, jealousy, idolatry, all that kind of stuff, homosexuality, all that kind of stuff, it's all can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And no matter your background, your struggle, previous, current, future, whatever it is, just know that you are loved in this place. But we love you enough to tell you the truth. Because heaven is real. And so is hell.
Yes.
And so we go into this place and there's rainbow flags everywhere. And if you know what that means, it symbolizes Pride Month in the month of June. The Bible talks about pride and how the Lord disdains pride. He resists the proud, the Bible says, but He exalts the humble.
Yes.
The symbol of the rainbow in the Bible is a symbol of God's mercy, to say that He will never flood the earth again, just like during the days of Noah. But sadly, the enemy, I'm talking about Satan and his demonic forces have used the symbol of the flag to pervert its meaning, and it's waving it in front of God, in God's face, to say, we are proud, and look, you can't flood the earth again, because that is your promise, so you can't go against your word. So we walk into this place, there's rainbows everywhere. Rainbow flags, peninsula pride activities, all this kind of stuff. And there's meant to be a group that comes in, we kind of speak to, about leadership stuff. We're in kind of incognito, in disguise mode. And we just said, let's just turn this into a prayer meeting. There's no one here. Let's pray for, Psalm 24. This is not the enemy's territory, even though there's symbolisms everywhere of sin. So we pray that the earth is the Lord and everything in it, and all who dwell in it. So enemy, this is not your territory. This is actually God's, and we claim it back. And at the right time, the gospel will be preached, and people will give their hearts to Jesus in this place. We pray for protection as we will do this. Shortly after, one person walks in. The only person, and no one else rocked up, not even one of the staff members to close the meeting early. But for an extended time, this person had a lot of questions. A lot of questions. I'm just looking around the room, because I think she said she might be here this morning. And it was a beautiful moment. She asked me, I was in my hoodie, my hat, my Jordans, and she goes, what do you do? I go, I'm a pastor. She goes, you're a pastor? And then one of her team members goes, yeah, that's my boss. And then right away, the hard question. I read in the Bible that it's wrong for males to be with males. What do you think? I go, well, you've read it. What's your thoughts? And then one of our team members beautifully just explained the plan of God from the beginning. It was Adam and Eve. Anything outside of that is the enemy's counterfeit. It's the enemy's plan to pull people away from a relationship with God. To cut a long story short, we talked about other things. We prophesied the goodness of God, the love of God over her, spoke the truth in love without any compromise at all. She said, the whole time I've been with you all, an hour and a half, look at my nails. I bite and I chew my nails. I'm an anxious person. The whole time I've been with you all, I've never felt anxious. I never felt fearful, and I haven't even touched my nails. She said, I feel so much love, so much peace. There's something about you guys. We simply put, it is God. And he's got a great plan for you. But it all starts with the relationship. And she goes, oh, I want this relationship. So I asked, when do you want this? She goes, I want it now, please. Can I please have Jesus? We lead her into this prayer. She receives the Lord, all emotional. It was just a beautiful picture, right in the enemy's camp. And the Lord was prompting me, this may be the only chance that she gets to hear this gospel. Don't you leave without telling her. It's one of those times where you feel like you're in the book of Acts, like in Acts 5, we must obey God over man. Must obey God over government's rules, right? Good people break bad rules. Can I say that? If it means someone's eternity is at stake, we will preach the gospel no matter the cost. Turning away from all these things. It is such a strong subject in our world these days. I want to be equipped. How do I actually reach out to the LGBTQI plus community? How do I continue to demonstrate love and sharing the truth? And I came across, and I think my phone listens to me, like Zuckerberg and YouTube and all our friends in big tech world. But it worked out good. YouTube came up with an algorithm, and it said LGBTQI plus the church and the church. And there was this guest speaker. He was great. You can look it up himself. Becker Cook, an amazing man of God who lived the majority of his life as a homosexual in the 80s and 90s. And now he is a full Orthodox Christian who has committed to a life of celibacy, of singleness, and preaching the gospel. And he went through something similar that I've gone through over the last two Sunday nights about our history, the cycles of man, and every 20 years there is this theme, a turn, according to the study from Strauss and Howey, the generational cycles. And in the 80s, there was a culture war between Ronald Reagan and the homosexuals. And he said, during this time, there was a book by Marshall Cook, After the Bowl. Who's ever heard of that book, After the Bowl? Normalizing gay culture in American society. One of the key strategies in that was to actually play up the victim card so that heterosexuals, by reflex, will play the role as protector. And that's what we're seeing. Because who wants to see people suffer? Who wants to see people end their life through terrible mental health struggles? We don't want that. We don't endorse that. We don't endorse hatred. We don't endorse people going down a path that is detrimental to their mental health. There is a way out. There is a solution, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
And so in this, in this YouTube video as well, he was sharing there's this once well-known lesbian activist that was hard against Christians, but when she encountered the Lord, she went back to her church. And it was the church of her parents, the church that she grew up with, but who never really treated her any different. Always treated her as the same little girl that they knew growing up. They said to her, respectfully and with love, we're not going to call you by your pronouns. We're going to call you by your birth name. And we're going to call you by who God has called you to be. That grated her, that made her angry. But you know what? When she came to God, she went back to that church and she said, this is why. Because that church didn't lie to me. I know I can hear the truth. And it was always with love. And so this church, we don't want to lie to you. As hard as it may sometimes be to hear a message like this, if you're struggling, the point of it is we never want to lie to you. We never want to help you down this path of thinking that all is good. When the Bible says, warn those who are perishing. So I say all of this with love. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And I sense now the tide is turning. The devil has overplayed his hand. People are starting to see the ridiculousness of you know, let's help these kids and you know, just surgically remove their body parts. There's men and women coming out now to say they regret their decisions.
Yes.
Some are taking these hospitals to court to say this was actually a form of child abuse.
Yes.
Why wasn't I told a different option? So I think now the world is starting to see the impacts. And even non-Christians are starting to step up and say, hey, this is actually wrong. We've now become the protector for these people who are being led down this path. So we never want to lie to our people. Amen?
Amen.
And the world. Yep, next one.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Christ is in all and in all. No Greek, no Jew, no Scythian, no circumcised or uncircumcised. God just loves you. Can I just tell you, God loves you so much.
Yes.
Every single person in this room, every single person watching online, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Even before the more superior covenant, the New Testament, the new covenant was put into place. We unpacked it a little bit last Sunday night. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and 25, the words from the Lord, if a foreigner comes into your land, welcome them, for remember how you were treated in Egypt.
Yeah.
Don't let foreigners be treated unequally. Because you once were slaves like in Egypt. And in verse 25, if a foreigner becomes wealthy, God actually promotes the idea of people becoming wealthy and successful and resourceful, yes, and being a blessing, then let that foreigner buy a fellow Israelite to serve their household. And then if the Israelite becomes wealthy themselves, then they can opt out of that contract. I've gone on a bit of a side tangent because I've been studying communism and social Marxism. And, oh my gosh, what a world we're entering. But God is good. You can, yes, watch the last two Sunday nights to get full context of that. Let's go to verse 12.
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any of you has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgave you, so you must also do.
Yeah, let's pause there. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. How do you actually get to a place where you can forgive each other, no matter how bad the wrong is towards you? It's the fruits of the Spirit, right? Some of it was listed here. In the book of Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit are, say with me, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. How is fruit grown? Is it magically plant a seed and then the tree is there? It's abiding, right? It's letting that seed grow down deep into the soil. And for a healthy fruit tree or any plant to grow, what else does it need? Nutrients.
Water.
Nurturing. Water. Pruning.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. And a stinky good dose of manure at times, right? How do you grow the fruits of the Spirit? In patience. You get around people who make you impatient. Manure, maybe. How do you grow the fruit of the Spirit? With kindness. When you're in front of someone who is unkind to you. How do you grow the fruit of the Spirit with long-suffering? When persecution is on you and it forces you to go on your knees and cry out to God and to weather the storm. How do you grow the fruit of the Spirit of love? By being met with people who don't love you back. And Jesus says, turn the cheek the other way. Yeah. Lee's got a mercy score of 9. We had a good laugh of this. With our interns, we did a spiritual gift survey and he scored 9 out of 30 on the gift of mercy. Oh my gosh, if you're having a hard time, don't go to Lee. But I actually genuinely believe that's gone up. As much as we laugh, he actually took that very seriously and he's been intentionally more compassionate, calling people, doing pastoral stuff. Because he said, I'll never be a pastor again. I'm an evangelist. But then that score really shook him up. And then our Rockhampton campus pastor, hello Bryden, he took the test for himself this week and he sent it to Lee thinking, oh, I've done one Lee better. Like I've actually outscored Lee. He didn't know Lee's score. He scored an 8. And then we're just having a good laugh. Oh, Bryden, you've been hanging around Lee too much. Let's all do the test. But Lee's showing more mercy because he's coming around the merciless, those who would present as challenging. Lee's doing things to work on his mercy score, so to speak. That's a 9.5. Verse 14.
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
Yeah, let's keep going to verse 17.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Yep, and one more.
More. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Beautiful. Above all things, put on love. In 1 Corinthians verse 12, it talks about all the gifts of the Spirit. We just talked about the fruits of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit. But at the end of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about, but I will show you a more excellent way. And that way is the way of love. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, then follows Paul's words to go on about love. And without love, you can prophesy till the cows come home. You can burn your body at the stake and look like a hero. But without love, you are like a clanging cymbal. You're just a noisy gong because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care and how much you love, right? So as much as we talk about the truth and we point people to the truth, we do hope that you are filtering it with love. We care and love you too much to lead you into a deceptive way of life. I love my friend Jay Bookout, the pastor's son, who led me to the Lord and told me the truth that I was going down a destructive path towards hell in my drinking, my clubbing, in my party lifestyle with girls and all that kind of stuff. July 16, a few weeks away, 20 years away. I'm going to have Jay here. He's going to help kind of do a couple of things that God wants us to do. But I thank God for my friend who loved me too much to not let me know the truth. He loved me so much to say, hey, here's the truth and you need to get right with God because you're in sin. But without love, that's where you get the nickname, oh, you Bible bashing monkey, whatever it is. All right. Then it says there, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Who wants to live with the peace of God in their hearts? Who wants to live in a world full of turmoil, of anxiousness and fear, but you can walk through any storm and have the peace of God in your heart? It's available for everyone. It's available for everyone who call upon the name of Jesus. It's available for those who would continue their relationship with the Lord, be close to him, especially if he's asked you to do something wild and crazy, right? I broke enough rules at that thing, and then we're signing out at the reception, and then the Lord goes, now tell her I love her. I go, God, come on. I've already broken enough rules today. What do you want me? I'll do you a deal, because it sounded like an American accent. I say, God, I'll do you a deal. I'll only tell her if she's from California. So I walk back, there's rainbow stuff everywhere. I go, excuse me, where are you from? She goes, oh, I'm from America. I go, which part? She goes, California. Oh, great. And I said, well, I've got a message to tell you. And I did this deal with God just over there. And I said, if you're from California, then I'm going to tell you that God loves you. And God loves you so much. God loves you so much. No Christian background. She knows. She's from Newport, in fact, where the Pirates Cove is, where the baptisms took place with the Jesus Freaks, Jesus Revolution people, right? And she goes, that's amazing. I know that place. I've been there. It's a small place, but 4,000 people got baptized there 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I go, yeah, they did. I said, God loves you. He's got a great plan for you. She goes, thank you so much. In the enemy's camp, with a thing right next to my face, pride, God loves you. It's exciting to live for God, isn't it? Yeah. Who wants to go to prison for Jesus? Yes. We are that crazy church, aren't we? All right. Let's finish it up. Verse 18 to verse 22.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord.
Jess, did you hear that?
Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them.
Okay.
Children, obey your parents in all things.
Mia, you there?
For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged.
That's true.
Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality.
God's truth is just sobering, isn't it? It's good to hear words like this about the family unit and how God designed a family unit, that the husbands are the head of the household. And that husbands, we need to love our wives, right? In fact, in I think it's 1 Peter 3, verse 7, I'll share this in our pre-marriage counselling course a lot. I have fun with this with the husbands. If you don't treat your wife the way that she should be treated, God will not hear your prayers. Oh my gosh, you can pray all night long, but if you're a lousy husband, if you don't treat her good, God's like, I ain't listening to you. Isn't it good? Like, wives, that's something for you. You should celebrate that. You can wave that in your husband's face and say, hey, where's my Endota spa voucher? No, don't abuse it. But this is what we live by. Thank you, Kevin. By the word of God. It's here where I learnt, do not rebuke older men sharply. Treat them as your fathers. Honour older women as your mothers and younger women as your sisters with purity and holiness. There was times where I wanted to arc up and just get back at this older dude that told me to calm it down during worship service when I was a baby Christian. But I remember that word, do not rebuke that man. Treat him like your father. And I just said to myself, you know what, one day I'm going to pastor a church and I'll never turn it down. And let's just do what we want to do here. And you have full permission to go for it in the spirit, in worship, in whatever you want to do. But it is the word of God. It is the light unto our feet. It is the path of life. There is things here that will challenge you. This girl who we led to the Lord this week, she said she struggled with same-sex attractions, but she read in the Bible the consequences of living that kind of life, which led her to ask some of these hard questions. What is it that you've just heard that you're struggling with, that you're dealing with, that you can't break from? I felt from the Lord, and we're going to dismiss the meeting soon and parents can get your kids, but we're going to spend a bit of time here at the front for anyone that just needs some things broken off their life. Some of these things are actually spirits. Some of these things are also bad habits. The Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, patterns of sexual sin, watching stuff on the internet that you shouldn't be watching, substance abuse. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can test and prove the perfect, pleasing will of our Father. I thank God for His Word. I thank God that I don't just read the nice, cuddly words, you know, in the Song of Songs, but I read the hard words and I reply every hard word to my life and go, oh, God, help me in this. Help me grow from this. There's too much at stake. There's too much to miss out on as well if I just continue in my own flesh. So there's people in the room that perhaps you need to break off things. Sometimes it's just a good dose of deliverance, amen? That we've allowed things. The Bible says the eyes are like the windows to our soul. And if your eyes are full of darkness, your body will be full of darkness. Your soul will be full of darkness. And the enemy can't own you. Devils can't own you. I just quoted Psalm 24 earlier. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all those who dwell in it. So he can't own you, but he can influence you. And it's like clearing out a house with a demon, Jesus said. And the house is clean. But then that demon will go to a dry and arid place and find seven other spirits and will return to that house if there is an open door. And though it is swept clean, it will make a mess of that house. It will turn the tables upside down. It will rip up the carpet. It will leave a mess in your soul. What have you allowed to come back in that's turned worse? Or what have you not yet got rid of yourself of? And you have the power. We have a team here that's going to pray for you. But Jesus also said, pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yes, you can be delivered from those things around you and from those things within you. During the height of my stupidity and watching things online, I actually had a demon in me. Oh no, Christian? Can Christians have a demon? I did. And God showed me, I go, God, I need to break this thing. And I go, God, help me break this thing. I remember I was in a half awake state and I was wrestling, oh, God, I can't do it. Can't I just do it secretly? Kind of like, that weird thinking. And then my voice changed to a bit. I was like a half asleep state into a demonic voice. I go, ha, 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 I've got you. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. All right, I need to take care of this properly. I asked for deliverance. I asked God to deliver me from the evil one, and he did. Humble yourself, the Bible says, before the Lord. Resist the devil. Don't do those things that will open up doors to the demonic anymore. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee. He will have to leave. But before we get to that point, with every eye closed and head bowed, there's people in this room and you don't have a relationship with God. You don't know what it's like to be forgiven of your sins. And in fact, if you died tonight, you're unsure, is it heaven or hell? God wants it to be so clear for you. It says in his word that it's not his will that any should perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What lies have you been told? What lies have you subscribed to think that you can go continue your life in this life of sin and have a bit of God? God is not a fence sitter. Jesus said, you're either with me or you're against me. You either gather or you scatter. There's no in between. Are you living for him? Are you all in? But we allow things in. And God wants to break those things. But this is right now for people who have never asked God to forgive them for their sins. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Why put it off any longer? So if you know you need to get right with God, or perhaps you've walked away and you need to come back home, can I just get you to boldly raise your hand right now? No one looking around. Does anyone need to get right with God? I know it's a bit of a moment you're having with him right now. I can see it. Let's just stand up to our feet. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for all my sins. God, I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Enter my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying and rising again. I declare myself dead to my sins and alive in you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, whether you raised your hand or not, can I invite you to come to the front, because we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to connect with you and help you in this new walk with the Lord. So if that's you, can I just ask that you just kindly come and make your way down here. And if anyone needs prayer as well to break things off, any strongholds in their life, we invite you to come here at the front as well. I sense God's going to set some people free. And in this as well, we found, you know, when people give their hearts to God, baptism is such a powerful act as well. But sometimes God will move quicker than that. We heard for the first time 2 weeks ago one of our interns sharing their testimony that we're sharing tonight. Oh, I'm biting my tongue. But she'll share in more detail. But she got set free from 17 years of antidepressants and 5 years of meth addiction by simply going down the baptism waters. Salvation, in its original meaning, means healing, not just of your heart, your soul, your spirit, but also your physical body. Can I implore you and invite you to come to the front? If you've never got right with God, this is your chance now to say, yes, I need to get right with God. Can everyone turn to their neighbor next to you, behind you, and just say, hey, do you want to come down the front? Because I'll come with you. Yeah, let's give it up for our sister. Awesome. Yeah. Is there anyone else? That's your granddaughter.
And she wants to bring a friend.
Oh, what's her name? Emily. Is this the first time you've done?
No, that's Georgia.
Awesome. Yeah, can we give it up for these awesome people? Is there anyone else that you know you need to get right with God? Beautiful. Awesome. And if you need just some things broken off, why don't you come as well? Let's just stretch out our hands, family, to these beautiful people and say, let's just pray a blessing and protection over them. Father, we thank you, God. We honor their decision to come forward and say yes to a lifelong commitment with you, to turn from their sins and to turn to you. God, we pray for a hedge of protection around them, Lord, that no weapon formed against them will prosper in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that you would help them in their new walk with you, that their relationship with you would be so loving and so deep. Father, in their lifetime, let them yield 30, 60, 100-fold to bring many others to you in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.